I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ. And 5 years is a big period in man's life, and it has gone. And Easter early I wanted to come to encourage your Pastor Jerry and his five in this hard real, and get it through and get the victory with the living God. And I start this Bible lesson reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And there I will start from the verse 23. This is a very common Bible verses which we read normally when we have communion, but I have to give us a little bit more understanding what the Lord's table means. Because might be that we here in Western world we have a little bit wrong understanding what really is the Lord's table. And that's why I read this common verse. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. What I received from the Lord, that this I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of cup. For he who eats and drinks it in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are sustained by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. In Corinth, they had a problem because they mixed Lord's table with their normal eating. They were hungry and they didn't understand it was sacrifice to the Lord, that communion, and they had a wrong attitude in their heart. But here in the Western world, we do not have this problem. We have some other kinds of problem. Maybe we have right attitude to come every time when there is communion. In early church, they style or they practice the communion was that they first eat the meal, and after that they had communion, and then they had little bit of problem to mix them two things together. I can see they mix together earthly eating and heavenly eating, or earthly drinking and heavenly eating. But we do not mix it that way, but we can do same mistake if we see this out for other point. Because Lord's table in the Bible is much more that we just come right attitude to communion table. Because Lord's table is everything what he is giving us, his word, everything what he is operating through anointing in spirit with us. That's all Lord's table. And we have to have this same kind of separation what God put on heart of priesthood in Old Testament.
They had like the commandment, the priesthood of Aaron, to make separation between holy and unholy things, and between clean things and unclean things. And this still separation is still valid here in the New Testament church. Of course, it has a little bit different form, because we do not anymore have those physical sacrifices which they had in the temple, because Jesus made all kind of fulfillment for those sacrifices on the cross of Calvary. But still is this same order to make this separation. And it's much more larger question that we just get right attitude or right mind to come to communion. It's much larger question before the Lord. It's our whole life there must be the separation between holy and unholy things, and clean and unholy things. And that's what I want us to speak and give us a little bit larger meaning what the Lord's table is, and what it will be and what it should be before the Lord. But anyway, because they had in Corinth a wrong mind, there was problem. There were weak, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. So because they had problem with the God's table, there many were sick, many were weak, and many sleep. And original Greek text here, when it says that many sleep, it has the meaning that many died too early. They did not live their full days here in the earth which God has planned for them, because they did not learn how to eat and drink from the Lord's table. So it has very deep, it's just normal sleeping. It's question that they slept away here from the earth too early. Because there in Israel, God has the nation Israel, for the people of Israel, he has a blessing which was the full count of the days. He has promised us 70 years and 80 years, even more for some months. But that is the minimum what he has planned for us. And if we learn to eat right attitude from the Lord's table, we will reach those full days here in the earth. I can use those words. And he wants to bless us those full days. But he is expecting us to learn to eat his table and just our heart right way, that we could follow Christ with right attitude in our heart. So it was a great big problem. Many slept too early. Many were weak. Many were sick because they did not touch their heart right way. But this last verse is sent, but when we are judged, we are sustained by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So God wants that his holiness does us, I can say that very often, that our heart situation is right before the Lord. And later we read something, what it is and what it means when God sustains us. And now we enlarge our understanding about the Lord's table, and we go to Gospel John and chapter 6 there, and we start from the verse 53. And it's John chapter 6 and verse 53. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living water sent me, and I live because of the water, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. So this is like the promise for us that we, if we drink with right attitude His blood and eat His body, we will live forever. And these Bible verses are not at all teaching us anything about communion. This has a little bit different meaning. And maybe you are thinking that when I'm drinking the blood of Jesus. Normally we have only that narrow understanding that we drink just blood of Jesus when we have communion. But we drink His blood much more often, and maybe even more important situation. First time you and me ate the blood of Jesus when we gave our life to Jesus Christ, and His blood cleans our heart. And after that we have drunk it when we have made sin and we have asked repentance. And He has forgiven again our sins what we did, and then we drank His blood. But this Bible text tells this us that who eats His flesh and drinks His blood, that is for my verse 55. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Another Bible translations use the word my blood is true and my flesh is my blood is true drink, and my body is true food. So it means that we need the holy attitude when we come to drink His blood, because it's true, it's real. It's holy blood. And that was the problem in Corinth church. They had lost that holy attitude, the fear of the Lord. They came there with the earthly mind. They were hungry for the physical food, and they misunderstood the meaning of the heavenly food and heavenly drink. That was their problem. And we might have this problem here in the Western world also, but a little bit different form. Sometimes I see many meetings where there are preachers telling, for example, the Christians, let's come to receive the fullness of Holy Spirit. And sometimes they are even like soaking or so, but they forget that there is the word holy. If you come to receive the Holy Spirit, the fullness of Holy Ghost, it means that if you receive Him with right attitude, same time the God's holiness touches your life. It's same manner if you are using the spiritual gifts. We have to mention that they are the spirit of the Holy, gift of the Holy Spirit. And if you use them with the right attitude, they bring to the among the congregation the God's holiness. So there must be separation about all kind of parties in this world and all kind of practical things in this world, because there comes His holiness. And that was that mistake what they had in Corinth, that they lose that right attitude, understand that God is holy, and He wants still separation from ungodly things from godly things, and unclean things from clean things, and unholy things from holy things. So that was their mistake. So we have to remember every time when we are dealing with the Spirit of God, that same time we are dealing with God's holiness.
What place is that?
Holiness. Yeah, I just said that in my mind. So we need to be practice to learn to eat His table. And every time when we sin, we have to repent that we can drink His blood, and it cleans us again. But then the Bible somewhere else warns us that that we can't may may sin, I don't exactly write behind the English word, but no, not do the sin, just we do it. It means that we need attitude, that holy attitude, that I want that God's holiness, that I need never sin again. That's where he wants to grow us, that we need not to sin anymore, that we will come real holy. That's his plan for us. So we have to keep the God holy, the blood of Jesus holy, and then we handle something about what it means that we eat his flesh, and his flesh is food indeed. So we are not physical eating. Maybe it's a picture in communion. We eat the bread, we eat it physically, his body. But most important thing is that we learn to eat right way his word. That's really his body what we eat. Because when Son of Man came, or Son of God came here in the earth, he was a word which came in the flesh. God sends his word here to redeem us from hell and redeem from sin. And it is here in John chapter 1 and John, yeah, chapter 1st, first chapter and verse 14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when Jesus came, there happened it that the word of God became flesh. And we have to learn to eat this word with right attitude. So it is true food indeed, true food what we eat. And he wants to teach us to learn to eat his word with right attitude, that we still remember that there is separation from this world. But also there is, when we are studying the word and we are receiving the word from the Lord, there is something every time against the word what we receive. Of course there is our enemy, Satan, fighting all every time that we do not receive the word of God. And finally he is there, it is there when you start to practice and start to live according to the word. Maybe the devil still let you hear the word, but when you start to do according to the word and practice according and obeying, then it starts to resist you more. But there is something else what is against the word and against the spirit, of course, also. There is our carnal mind, which we have to resist every day. Carnal mind, fleshly mind. It's raising up every day, and God's plan for us that we take care of that carnal mind, that keep it down and keep up the heavenly mind, the spiritual mind. And renewing through his spirit every day that carnal mind will be quiet. I use some words there in Finland when I'm preaching that I some days talk to the old Adam, that be quiet in the name of Jesus. You don't have right in my life to speak anymore. Be quiet. It means that old Adam is quiet man. He don't has in us right to speak at all. And that's how God wants that we see when one day our body was baptized there under the water, that we see there under the water quiet men who never speak anymore. Or has any bad behaving anymore. We have to see it by faith that old Adam is there under the fort. There is a quiet man under the fort, and there is a quiet man what anymore had any kind of bad behaving, because that man there under the fort is dead man. And by our faith, we have to keep that old Adam be dead man there. But if one old preacher there was teaching in Finland that if you do not take care of that old tunnel and keep it silenced there and see by the faith eyes that man is dead there, if you let the old Adam raise up again, it means that however we have go through the water baptism, still that old Adam will raise up and start to swim and start to come up from that baptizing place. So it means we have to take care that it's still old Adam is still dead there under the fault. So it's question we see like the through the faith eyes that there is old Adam, silent man is there, still silent, still quiet with that bad behaving. It's a quiet man that we have to see, and since God will, we see it by faith eyes every day and never give up in that fight. Then we go to see some more things about the Lord's table and everything, this holy walking here in dirt. We go to the Colossians chapter 3. Maybe I pronounce right, Colossians, maybe right. Yeah, we see something interesting thing there very, very soon. We will find that. Chapter 3. We start from the beginning, Colossians chapter 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornications, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness. I've never learned it. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. So it means that we have to we have to do it daily. Put to death your members which are on the earth. All earthly members in us, put to death. Talk to old Adam, be dead. You have to be quiet. All bad behaving is stop, no more, enough. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all this anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. No, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So it means that when we practice these things, put beside the old man and all his earthly members, then it brings up that Christ is all in all. So it means much more we learn to keep old Adam quiet, much more it's lifting up Christ in us. And it means that they're in all kind of living condition where we practice things right, they'll start Jesus Christ to be all in all. He start to be the number one. Many times we think there, because it is there, it is, for example, here in the second chapter of Revelation, is talking us about the first love. And many times we also have a wrong, narrow understanding what is first love. We think only that there was first love just once when I gave my life to Jesus. But not that's only part of that first love. I think that first love is something doing and dealing with this kind of question. Do we learn in our life decision to put Jesus every time to the first place? That's the first love, that we are everything, we are ready to seek God and His will. That's real first love. It means that when you need some guiding in your life, you pray God, and when you receive the answer, you are ready to obey. Because I see there in Finland that there are some Christians, they come even toward us preachers and us and say, please pray for me that I can receive the answer to this or that question. Of course we pray for them because we are in ministry, but then there sometimes comes problems, because when there comes the answer, if it do not please their flesh, they forsake and go on their own way. First love is something that when you start seek the God to receive answer some question, maybe you have some need in your life or you have some problems in your life, you start to seek God. Before you start even to seek God or you start to pray, you have to decide that I agree with that what God gives me. I agree with that answer He will give to me. It's better to do that before you start to pray or before you start seek God, before you have to decide, I agree what God gives to me. I'm ready to receive His answer to my life questions. That's real first love. Because we can't only test God, that does God has some decision us, or does the world have some decision. That is not first love. First love puts Jesus every time to the first place in our life, and first place also in congregation. That's God's plan. But we have to be practiced. It's like the result, or like the fruit here. We are still here in Colossians chapter 3, that when these things happen, Christ is all in all. It means that much more we practice, much more we understand God's ways, much more Christ become to be all in all things. And He lifting us to those things which are there above. And we have to forsake these all the earthly things to reach those heavenly things. So here was also a verse that do not lie to one another. This verse 9, Colossians chapter 3. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. We may many times make mistakes when we speak each others, because we many times we do that mistakes that we do not see my brother and my sister in Christ. I start to see my sisters and brothers life through my natural eyes. And then maybe I'm lying as I start to talk what I see. Because God's will is that I see my brother, I see my sister through the eyes of Christ. Because if we start stir up, we wind out everyday mistakes from each others, and if we start to do that, then we start to speak liars each others. Because we have to, God's plan is that what we talk, we talk what we are in Christ, and we talk what our brother and sister is in Christ. We are not talking their sins, we are talking what they are in Christ. Even the Bible says, I don't exactly remember word in English, but anyway it says something like that if I have some critique against my sister or brothers, God's plan is that I forgive. Not speak that critique, just forgive. Because we might bring poundings to our sisters and brothers' life if we start to speak that what we see with natural eyes. God has called us to speak His word, words in spirit upon our sisters and brothers' life. So it means we have to have this positive mind. And doesn't matter how much there are critics against some sisters or brothers, God's plan is every time that we forgive, are ready to forgive every day. We have every day to remember that we have received in Christ that full forgiveness, those 10,000 talents. So we can't come to touch my brothers and sisters next because of just 100 denarios. God never liked that if we do it, that we have received the full forgiveness, and then because of just 100 denarios, which means this time some cents, we come to our neighbor's neck to demand something. We can't demand anything from each other because we are living through truth of forgiveness. Then I point out two verses also here from the chapter 4 of Colossians still. Chapter 4 and verse 5 and verse 6. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, season it with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. That's one thing what we have to learn here in when we walk here after Jesus and with Jesus, that we get right understanding toward those who are outside. We need wisdom to handle the wicked people. Many times we just speak and say other Christians, oh, those wicked people are so really wicked in this city, the city that no one can't receive Jesus. And we put like a curse upon them. But that's not that God's wisdom. God's wisdom is that we are waiting for current time that divine find the words and find the open space in their heart where we can plant the gospel of Jesus Christ to their heart. We can't share out the gospel of Jesus Christ with our own understanding. In that task, we need the wisdom of God. Many times when we are young Christians, we still think that I can share out the gospel of Jesus Christ with and by my own understanding. But it never brings the real fruit. Only that there is anointing through the God's Spirit, that only God knows those people's heart. I once God said there in Finland, old married couple who both were in the ministry, they were that time when they visit there, they might be even in heaven now. They were close 80 years old when they came to Finland still to preach of gospel of Jesus Christ. And then that lady told that she was with her husband traveling some city here in aeroplane. They were in the plane going to have meeting somewhere in here in USA. And finally when she was sitting there beside the aisle there in aeroplane, the other side of the aisle was sitting also a young man. And suddenly Spirit of God was writing one word about that young man, and it was the word adultery. And then that sister encouraged his mind in Christ and went to and said that young man who he had never seen before, and he went that you are living in adultery. And that man was seeing his into the eyes and saying, how you know it? He says, I don't know it, but God knows. And then that young man understood that I'm now dealing with leaving God, and he repented. And what happened? There in the same plane was also that young man's wife sitting somewhere else there in the same plane. And when that young man gave his life to Jesus Christ, then he went to tell his wife that I have made a big sin against you and I want to repentance. And that lady forgave him, and also there in the plane that lady also gave her life to Jesus Christ. Because there was God's wisdom taking place there in the plane. And that's what we need, that we find how we deal with the wicked people, that they will receive Jesus Christ. Many times we think that their heart is so hard that they can't receive. And when I was young Christian there in the neighbor city, Christian always said me, because I was young and I was fanatic and ready to do the God's works everywhere, they said me, "Jari, now you came to city where it's so hard hearts that they never received Jesus Christ." And I nearly believe what they were talking, but I started to think, God opened me some things. Once a year there came one church to preach one evangelist who was full of love. And every year he harvested in that city which Christian there said, "This is so hard place that no one give their life Jesus." But when that evangelist came who was full of love for the unsaved people, he came and he harvested. One year he harvested 7 people in his campaign. Maybe he was 3 nights there or so. One year he led 3 persons to Jesus. But every year when he came, he got fruit. He bared fruit for the Jesus Christ, because God had broken his heart. He had love for wicked people. And through that what happened, God was teaching something to me. And he said that hardness is there in the heart of Christians. It's not there in the wicked people. And because that man did not have hardness in his heart, he could lead people in that city to know to Christ. And that's what I want to mention very polite way, that every time we have to be very open there before the God, because that, can I say, that rocky heart comes very easy for every man's life. Sometimes there come some things where we did not succeed, there comes bitterness, and it brings together the hardness. So there many other things happens. So we have to deal with our heart with God, that every day that there God's want is that there is fleshly heart, not rocky heart, or heart made by stone, how you use the words. But anyway, hardness is very easy taking part in our heart. But another reason, when we are here in the Western world, there is one problem is, we are still in that, under that title, Lord's Table. And here in the Western world, especially in USA, is the problem to mix wrong way the money to godly things. And what there happens, Jesus is teaching very clearly that man's hearts can't belong same time to the Jesus Christ and same time to the mammon. It means heart can't be divided. There can't be Jesus same time and the spirit of mammon same time. It's impossible in before the Lord. So we have to every day also resist the spirit of mammon. It takes so easy to part in our heart if we are not awake. Because we are loving Jesus, we are not loving his earthly things. We have, doesn't matter how much God has blessed us these earthly things, every time we have to remember that one day there comes the fire and eats them all. We are bearing fruit there to the eternal barns. And if you will and you want to succeed to harvest souls inside to the kingdom of God, you have to see every day those heavenly barns where you are collecting the fruit, instead of these earthly barns which one day comes fire and takes them out. So keep your mind there above and see every time when you are talking the gospel of Jesus Christ to people, that you are collecting fruit, bearing fruit to heavenly barns. There is no rust. There is not any other problem. There we bear the fruit which will remain. And that's our holy goal, to bear the fruit which will remain until there to eternity. We are branches there in the weak tree, and Jesus has set us that we bear fruit. And even the goal for every one of us is that we will bear much fruit. It's there in the John chapter 15 where is that our holy call, that we are the branches and fruit is hanging there in us. And that we have to remember every time, that we are branches and fruit is hanging in us. When we get people seeking God many times, maybe nearly every time they are seeking God through us Christians. So it means that when you meet next time some unsaved person, it depends on you and it depends on me what kind of taste he or she gets from me. Is he or she tasting Christ in me, or is he tasting world in me? Or is he tasting fleshly things in me, or heavenly things in me? That's the main question, that when they come to taste us, that they see in us Christ Jesus. Not man, not world, but just Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us and will redeem them also from the death and from the hell. So Jesus set us that we will bear much fruit. That is our holy goal, to bear much fruit. Not just little bit, but much. One single Christian, God wants that he or she bears much fruit, but whole congregation he wants bear much fruit. And so that's our holy goal. I want to even read some verses here. John chapter 15, from verse 5. John 15 verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now we are again in these questions. We can't share the gospel of Jesus Christ by the power of man, with our understanding. Without Jesus we can't do nothing. We have to remember that every day, that we need that sensitivity in anointing, that we can't do anything without Jesus. And Bible warns us that do not lean your own understanding. Lean God's understanding. Lean God's wisdom. Lean every godly things. Lean His Word. Lean His Spirit. Lean all of those heavenly things. I like very and love very much what the disciple, or here or even the apostle John, who first was disciple and then came apostle. I really appreciate what he writes, because he studied very much what is the love of Christ. And I can tell you what was the life of disciple John. When Jesus was still here in the earth and he was teaching his disciples, every time when they had a break, when they were going, for example, somewhere in Galilee, or going from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, and when they had the break, I can say it in modern language, they had a coffee break or lunch break, when they had the break and Jesus sat somewhere there, they came the disciples on and put his head beside the Jesus' chest. What does it mean? Why he did it? He wanted to receive all love what Jesus has prepared for him. Every love. But also, he put his ear very close to Jesus and was thinking maybe Jesus will share some godly things here also during the coffee break and during the lunch break. He was thirsting God. He has hunger for God even during the breaks. And he received much. Tradition tells us that Apostle John, they tried to kill him. They put him to the barrel where was oil, and they put wire under it,
but they never can kill him, because he's so much full of love that even the boiling oil could kill this apostle who was full of love. So he received much. He gave us very, very nice example. And we go on this chapter 15, Gospel John. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. It's one thing where even the world or other Christians can mention us that we are real disciples, that we bear much fruit. Because that fruit is all the time they're talking that these people are real disciples. And then the Bible has a much greater blessing. There is the word that dry righteous man, righteous woman is bearing fruit still after his or her death. When we are dead, that righteousness is still bearing fruit here in the earth. Once I was driving home from one city where there had been a meeting at night, and I was driving there maybe 2 or 3 o'clock between 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was hearing a tape where there was one preacher from England was preaching and one brother from Finland was making interpretation. And when I had heard that maybe 15 or 30 minutes, suddenly it came to my mind that these brothers are already in heaven. And Lord raised up from my heart the word that dries bear fruit still after his or her death. So if we have the right attitude and bear fruit here, there is still that fruit in the earth when we are already in heaven. That's God's plan for his righteous people, that there will be fruit still after that when we go home. So it means we live here like an inheritance. Joseph there in Egypt, he lived quite special inheritance. It's not so easy to understand why he said that to the people of Israel, when you leave here, out here from Egypt, do not forget to leave my bones here. Remember to take my bones when you leave here. And you can think, oh, what kind of inheritance that they took the sack of bones with them when they left. Of course, those bones do not have such nothing. They are before the Lord, they are such dust. But what was that idea why he said, was he so much wanting that his bones come to the tomb, same tomb with his fathers and mother? No, it was not so important about Joseph. I think the most important thing is when he commanded how to deal with his bones was that every time people of Israel during this long period after that, when Joseph died, there came generation after that, they all the time somebody said that, oh, Joseph said that there comes a day when we leave. So it keep up the promise of God. Those bones were keeping up the God's promise that there is coming the day when the Israel is leaving out from Egypt. That was the meaning of those bones. They mentioned there was a man of God who said this word, there comes one day when you leave out here and you take my bones with you. Those bones we are mentioning, there is a promise from the Lord. Man of the God gave us the promise that we are not all the time living here under the slavery, under the boundings. There is coming the delivery day, and it came by the mercies of God. And they left with those bones, with God's promise. I like that talk about those bones, because they bear so much fruit. We're mentioning the nation of Israel, you are receiving your liberty.
And verse 8, by this my Father is glorified that you, I read this. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that you your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So, when we eat more there, we are still under the title Lord's Table. When we are eating and drinking more there from the Lord's Table, there comes and happens some change. We are not any more feeling that I'm like a servant far from the Lord. I start more and more feel I'm the friend of Jesus Christ. And that's here he wants to grow us, that we start even feel that I'm the friend of Jesus Christ. That I'm not just a servant there somewhere afar. I like very much that John came so close. Jesus put his head beside his chest. So he really knew that Jesus loves him and he loved Jesus. And when we grow, Lord wants more and more bring up that we feel that we are no longer do I call you servants. For so servant does not go what his master is doing. If we are only servants, we do not what God is doing this time during our age. Only the friends of Jesus Christ really know what God is just doing here in the earth. He reveals for his friends everything, but servants do not know everything. They might know some things. It's same way, like there were still, when Jesus was here in the earth, what those disciples close him, he was speaking openly. But was those people around there, he just spoke parables. And many people did not understand what those parables means. But to his disciples, he spoke openly. For example, he told them openly who the John the Baptist was. He says it openly that he was Elijah. But he did not say it for every man there where he was teaching. He just said it to his beloved disciples who loved him too. So I hope there happens more that you and me start there in our life when we eat more and drink more his table to learn that we are friends of Jesus Christ. Deep friendly fellowship with Jesus. Then there is a verse 13, we return to that back. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. I tell you one story. I visited maybe 1991 or 1992 in Bible school in Christwater Nation in Dallas, Texas. And there was a young man from Canada studying there, and he was burning the fire for Lord Jesus Christ and was ready to lead people to know the Jesus Christ. And then that Bible school time went over and he got back his home there in Canada. And what happened, one day he was laying there on like some lakes seaside, and there came two two very small kids came to swim there. And finally that brother found out that those kids can't swim at all, and they were sinking there into the water. And there was one problem: that brother also couldn't swim at all, but he decided to put his whole life on the table, and he went to help those young kids up there from the boat. And he succeeded to save the life of those two children, but himself he died there into the water. He gave his life for two young's life. He helped them to leave, but he himself died. And what happened? There was a great grieving service when they buried him. And after that, there started a huge revival in that city in Canada. His righteous life was still speaking when he went to heaven. There happened something in the spiritual world. God touched people's heart there. He even could swim, but he decided to help anyway. And he succeeded to help, but he lost his life. But he laid his life on the table. I believe that those young kids who are now much older now will hold their life, remember there was a man who laid his life on the table to help me that I could now live. Maybe they do that guy's ministry and finish it here in the earth. Praise the Lord, God's mercies and his love. And verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So it's many times here that he has called and appointed us that we go and bear fruit. If we forget this great commission in our life and we stop to bear fruit, it brings problem to our life. Because there where we bear fruit, there is all the time God's Spirit moving and mentioning things. It's same thing as there is somewhere, for example, in wilderness, there is a spring. And there comes a small, like a river, goes out all the time, and down there, deep from the ground, comes up more and more cold water, and river gets it out. But what happens if we close that river, what goes out from the spring? What happens? First of all, there start that water start to come form, and you can't drink it anymore. Then there start to come some plants and some animals, and finally it closed the whole spring. So it means that if we stop to bear fruit, there start to close something here in this inner man in us. If we are ready every day, lay our life on the table and share out what we have, the new flood is coming, new stream is coming all the time, and it renews us. Hallelujah. So are ready every day, let's be ready every day to share out what you have, that God can give you new things and renew your mind, everything. So this disciple school means that we study and we practice and we share out and we receive new. But if we are not ready to share out things what we have, God is not giving us more new things. Because there is no idea anymore of them. So he has appointed you and me that we should go and bear fruit. And earlier there was even the word much fruit. But what happens if man falls in love this world? I don't know how they plant the vine here in California, but there in Israel whole time when they were planting their vine trees, they took very carefully, they were seeing that any kind of branches will never touch the earth. When it once comes there up from the ground, they took carefully that it never touch again the ground. And what was that? Even they could put to a piece of rock or stone under the branch. If it start to fall to the ground, they put even the stone of rock, piece of rock under it, that it will still be up. And why that? If the branch of the vine, if it comes again back to the ground, then it makes its own roots and it's still bearing fruit, but much smaller what that main tree is bearing. And then there is another problem, that fruit is bitter, it's bad taste, and you can't eat it. And that same thing, if we fall in love this world, or if we are living fleshly life, or we have that carnal mind, our fruit is bad tasted, and we get people come to taste you, they take the piece from you and taste, oh here is the same world what I have, and they go on their way in sin. But God wants, when they come to taste you, because fruit is hanging in us there on the branches, they come to taste you and say, oh, there is Christ, I will receive him. He wants that there is Christ. If they come to test, there is no idea if there is the same world, if there is the same wickedness, or there is the same carnal mind. They never turn their life to Jesus Christ. And then there is a special guiding in the Word of God for Easter, certainly for woman, but also sometimes for man, when there is the married couple who is not yet Christian. And Bible says that you could win that married couple without words. It means there must be life what is testifying that there is Christ telling through you. Many times when there are other married couples not yet Christian, there are too many and too much words, and they are pushing that married couple out from the Christ. But if there is a holy life full of Christ, full of love of Christ, it is helping that person to receive Jesus as her personal Savior. Once I was in Finland in meeting here, there was a prophet from Idaho at that time having meetings, and then there was a prayer line, and then there came one lady there, and that prophet said very shortly to that lady that if you once see your husband in heaven, never any more try like by force to get him to come meetings. Just love him. And he repented. He had tried everything and called every day, come with me meeting, come. But those wicked ears had been closed already many years and he couldn't hear anything. But he repented, and what happened next day, that husband came to the meeting. She had tried to get that man maybe even 10 years to come meetings by force, saying, you have to come, you must come. But those ears were locked. But when she repented next day, that husband came to the meeting and gave his life to Jesus Christ. So we are back in that text that man can do nothing without Jesus Christ. We will try, but we never succeed. We only succeed and will succeed with Jesus Christ. Then we go see some verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, because also God's word tells us something, how we have to think, or how we have to deal with our thoughts. God wants that they also are touched by his holiness. And we go 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we start from verse 1. Now Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lovely among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as if we forget according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not fall according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So I want to point out this verse 5, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So it means God is interested in how we are thinking, what our thoughts even are. And he wants that there is, through the Spirit of God, there is captivity. If there is raising up some bad thoughts, that we pound them, we resist them, and even to renounce them out from our life. So it means if you still start to raise up bad thinkings, you have to stop it by the mercies of God, by the anointing. Because devil is the master to bring up always bad thoughts for our life. And there also is the part of Lord tables that we start to think, what I'm thinking, what are my thoughts are. God's one there is also His holiness and His glory. And we have to remember also that verse 4, what the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. We have to every time remember we are not fighting against the blood and flesh. The warfare is much more above us, against the strongholds and all things which has set against the living God. Pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. So there have to be that whole armor of God in our life that we can pull down the strongholds and resist all ungodly things and worldly things and so on. And then we very shortly, I'm finished this message very soon. We see some ideas still from Hebrew and there from the chapter 5. It teaches us how to deal with sin. And that's very important thing, how to deal with sin. So it is Hebrew chapter 5 verse 14. But solid wood belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So it means when we grow, we start to automatically there is God's righteousness in life, and so we can find out what is good and what is evil. The separation is here. When we gave our life to Jesus Christ, we thus received the gift righteousness, and next day, when one day we get received Jesus and born again, and next day after that we got the birth in spirit, there was not any much more righteousness. There was still that gift righteousness. But God's plan is when we are fully trained, that there comes also the righteousness of life. That it is here inside of us that we could separate good and evil things each other. That means the Christian is full age if here inside there is the ability to separate good and evil things each other, good and bad things from each other. They have senses exercised to discern both good and thing. So it means that here is an ability in us to do that. In fact, it was not yet that verse talking about sin. It's here in Hebrew chapter 12 and verse 4, Hebrew 12 and chapter 4. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed striving against sin. What does it mean? You have not yet resisted the bloodshed striving against sin. So this verse tells us that sin is very serious thing, and we must be ready to resist it up to the bloodshed. What does it mean? I can give you an example. If you are, I never want it happens to you, but it's such example. If you one night there is dark and you are going there on some street, and suddenly there comes someone, maybe a robber or murder with a knife, and tries to kill you, and you start to fight. Even there comes blood from your hands and everywhere, you fight and you will get the victory. So it means that God wants that we have same attitude to sin, that we are ready to fight until the blood shed, that we get the victory from the sin. So it means we have the holy anger against the sin. And we have to learn that lesson that Jesus loves sinners but hates sin. That's a very important lesson to learn and study in practice, that he always loves sinners but hates sin. Bible says that he has been, is it like the forerunner, he has been running everything before us. He has prepared the paths and ways to us to go, and he has done everything before us. But there is one thing what he have never done and never do. He never fall in sin. And because he never fall in sin, he can ask sinners help. Because he was living poor and holy life, so he can help us. So let's keep the right attitude against the sin, like the holy anger and on a holy fret against the sin, and ready to fight unless the victory come. That it means this word you have not yet resisted the bloodshed striving against sin. We have to fight until we get the victory. Doesn't matter, does it take 1 year or 2 years or even 5 years to get the victory from some sin. God will that we are on the battlefield and we are ready to get victory by his mercies. Too often Christians give up and they live all their life in some sins because they are not ready to fight under the bloodshed to get the victory from their sin. God's will is clearly that we have to get that victory. So this all together, this teaching it's God's table. That we start understanding small large question, that we just come before the Lord, right attitude. Some stay here 30 minutes in communion table and think our life is right. That's what the religion do. Even here in this country, in my country, people come there on Sunday, have communion. On Monday they go back to their sin. And that's never God's plan. God's plan is that you come to meet the God there in congregation and you still have God with you there when the Monday come and Tuesday come and Wednesday come. Whole week you have Jesus with you, yes, dealing with you. That's the Lord's table, that we are leaving all his words and hearing what the Spirit of God is saying to congregation and saying to single Christians. That's the Lord's table, that we understand that his blood is true blood and his flesh is true food, and we have to learn to eat them right. Because the Corinthians had the problem about where we start. There was weakness, there was sickness, and even some people died too earlier because they did not learn how to eat from the table of God. That's my message to you, and we may pray. Father God,
We come in your holy presence here in the end of this meeting. Lord, I bless everybody you sent here, and Lord, help us to understand the deeper meaning for the table of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we will understand the righteousness, we leave all words which comes out from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help us to drink your blood right way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we have a holy anger against all sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we even hate to do sin, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, strengthen our steps to live holy life. Hallelujah. But if there still is sin, Lord God, we ask we can drink your blood. Hallelujah. Which is a true drink. Hallelujah. We thank your holy blood, and we thank your word. Hallelujah. We thank these two things leads us directly. Your word, your blood, and of course your spirit. Hallelujah. We thank the lead us to go on this holy life. Hallelujah. Lord, teach us how we have to eat your table, how we have to deal with your table. Hallelujah. That it never happens to us what happens to the Corinthians, that they died too early, they were weak, and they slept, and they were under the sickness. Help us to eat right, that we will bear much fruit, because it's your holy call for us that you have set us, that we will bear much fruit. Hallelujah. Lord God, bless everyone and every family here in the name of Jesus, and help them bear much fruit. Hallelujah. And help them to share the gospel of Jesus Christ according to wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Help us to remember that without Jesus you can do nothing. Hallelujah. Help us not to lean our own understanding. Help us to lean to God's understanding, God's wisdom, and all kind of godly things. In the name of Jesus Christ, be blessed and be strong. Amen. And I have promised by your pastor that I pray first for him. Maybe it's okay for you. But I'm ready to pray anyone who will pray after that.
Yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Gamara Sandophoni, crashing from the glory. Father God, we can thank that we are here in your holy presence. Hallelujah. In your temple. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We ask, Lord God, glorify your mighty name in Jerry's life today. Hallelujah. Strengthen his body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you are mighty God. Even bless him a new leg, him, the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 And we thank that this trial is bringing up much fruit. Hallelujah. There is much more fruit is coming in the name of Jesus. And I prophesy to you that best years are in front. Devil is saying to you many times, your time is over. That God says best fruitful years are in front. They are coming by his mercies. Hallelujah. You will bear still much fruit. Hallelujah. There is much work for you in kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And he has called you by name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And he never doubted that call is still valid. Hallelujah. And he never canceled that call. It's still valid. Hallelujah. It's called to go all over the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There is still that call. Hallelujah. By his mercies you can and you will call to do his work. Hallelujah. And you will bear much fruit in the name of Jesus. And he will bless you and your family, future and hope, in the name of Jesus Christ. This trial is temporary. Hallelujah. It is temporary. Hallelujah. You will receive victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Garada shando de resa, araba shando de revesende de glory. Ora vede sandere fore descende di crudi avoroscendi di glog. And what you have gone through, it gives you wisdom to help your sisters and brothers who under the under hard trials. Hallelujah. You have love and you have wisdom to help them also to go through those trials. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have real shepherd heart. Hallelujah. This has enlarged during this trial. Hallelujah. He has enlarged your heart even more. It has been large, but it has been enlarging all the time. More love. More love. You start to be like the Apostle John, full of love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Full of love. Amen. Amen. Krabidi chanda de grudi shendi de fi abori shendi de glow. And I see that when the end comes, you will leave your crown be in front of Jesus' feet, and there will be much stars. Like it is written that who has won souls, there are stars in his crown. I see that your crown will be full of stars in the name of Jesus. There comes the day when you leave that woolly starred crown, your master's feet, down your master's feet. Hallelujah. It's your fruit here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's your fruit. Hallelujah. We thank your goodness. We thank your mercy. I thank you. Strengthen my brother. You strengthen the spirit, soul, and body. And in the name of Jesus, we resist all sickness, all illness there. In the name of Jesus. And we release the healing power of our brother. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. We thank that through your blood there is healing. Hallelujah. Through your blood is the future and hope. And there will be joy of the Lord in you. Praising songs, sing all the time, day and night. There is rising up more and more songs in spirit. Adorescende the glory, adorescende the glory. And I see you start to fright something. You start to fright your experience to teach Christians how to go through trials. God calls you to fright this down, what you have gone through all your life until this day. He wants you to fright it down for other Christians to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives you wisdom to fight in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. There comes the anointing of fight. Hallelujah. Lift the name Jesus upon all other names, and I proclaim victory, my brother, this family, in the name of Jesus Christ. Be blessed, be strong, be faithful until the end, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Kabara Santa Vara Rabbi Santa Vara Rabbi Santa Vara Rabbi Santa Vara. Bless also series 5 to go through these trials, Lord. Hallelujah. Help her to be full of love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even there might be nights could not sleep, but we ask that there will be your power, or your holy presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Strengthen my sister now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Strengthen her body and soul, spirit, in the name of Jesus. Help her to be full of love. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank there will be future and hope to them both, in the name of Jesus Christ. And God has heard your prayers, and He is God who will answer your prayers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You will receive your prayer answers very soon are coming. Prayer answers in the name of Jesus Christ. He has heard all your crying, all your tears. He will wipe out. Hallelujah. There will come to answer your prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. He points your hands upon you, and help will come in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's all the strength in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's all will end that God's name will be glorified. His mighty name will be glorified. Hallelujah. This all brings up His goodness. Hallelujah. That He's good God. Hallelujah. And He has good plan for His children. Hallelujah. Be blessed and be strong. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.